Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. What's it like to be a special constable and what are special constables? Would you know a special constable if you met one of them in the street? How is their uniform different from that of regular officers? Now, could you tell the difference? Well, we see them on the beat and being called out to incidents in the same way that regular police officers are. But what's their role within the police force and what duties do they have? Joining me on the line is Gurmit Paul, who became a special constable with West Midlands Police at the age of 50. But why and what appealed to him about the role? And he's on the line for to join me now. Hello, Gurmit.
Good evening.
Thank you ever so much for joining me. Gurmit, now we were talking, or I was saying a moment ago about you wanting to become a special constable. What made you want to do this?
Well, like I said, it's always been an interest of mine. From when I was 16, I always wanted to be a bobby, a police constable. I've tried numerous occasions to apply, and for whatever reason, it never happened, you know, be that like age, height, you know, education. But I did join West Midlands Police more so as a police staff, and I've been a police staff member for 16 years now.
How easy have you found it to join the Special Constabulary?
Well, I think, you know, you can go on to external website. You go on the external website and you can apply, you know, if you've got half an hour or so. And, it's made it a lot more easier because you can apply online now. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty straightforward.
Talk me through the process then. So you make your initial application online. Then what happens?
So it's similar to regular recruitment. So you put your application online, that then is assessed by the recruitment team. You then kind of, if you pass the application stage, you're then kind of shortlisted, and then the assessments. There's assessments. After the assessments, you go to interview. Mm-hmm. Then they do medical checks, security vetting checks, and once you've passed all that, then you're kind of invited for the fitness test, which is like bleep test. And that's like the bleep test is running between a certain distance, 15 metres, mm-hmm. and, you know, it increases. So you have to be a reasonable health past that. And then you get offered the letter. And once you offer the letter, the offer letter, mm-hmm. then you start your police training.
So how long does that training take?
Well, I think it's fast-tracked for some degree. And they're kind of aligning it to the kind of regular recruitment. So, you know, it was 12 weeks. But remember, with special constables, you're doing it in your own time because it was all voluntary. Mm-hmm. So you did it of a weekend or of an evening, for the evening classes. And, you know, it can be intense. And, you know, like I said, it's fast track. But it's really rewarding and beneficial. And you're in a group, a cohort of people from all walks of life. Mm. I mean, diversity is a big thing within the police. And, you know, you've got people from ethnic minorities, language skills, you know, and, you know, all walks of life, doctors, nurses, you know, factory workers, everybody's welcome.
And that's the thing, you bring skills from your paid employment into the police service, and then you
exactly
also take
that.
New skills away from the police service, excuse me, back into your paid work. Obviously, you can't breach any data protection or any security, but just give me a flavour of some of the things that you've been involved with since you've been on operational duty. You know, I because you do a lot of the jobs that the regular police officers do, don't you?
Correct. I mean, I think, you know, you're there. I mean, a lot of people have a misconception that, you know, special constables are, you know, they haven't got no powers, but we've got the same powers as a regular. We do the same duties. We're front line. So, myself, I've been on, we start off in neighbourhood, which is the community policing, mm-hmm. And then another unit you can go on to is NTF, which is the Neighbourhood Task Force. So they're serving the warrants, like drug warrants and what have you. But then, you know, I elected to go to response, and response is basically a bit more faster. It's responding to all the 999s and all those kind of, instances there. Mm-hmm. And you experience people in traumatic situations. But it's also, you know, kind of giving that helping and reassuring hand to people and support, you know, victims of crime. And assisting in those areas as well.
Again, without breaching any security, give me an idea of your most challenging activity that you've been involved in so far.
I think one of the challenging incidents I went to was, I think it was a call on response, mm-hmm. and a lady had kind of hung herself. Mm-hmm. From the bedroom window, mm-hmm. and
that must have been awful.
It was in the afternoon, and we got there, and 69 son, and then, you know, he didn't know what to do, so he cut her down, and she'd landed. It was in the back garden, and she'd landed on the patio, and the ambulance were there. It was very, very traumatic, and I think the regular officer and myself were reassuring the son, mm. And what have you. She didn't pass away. They managed to get a heartbeat and take her to the hospital. Mm. But yeah, that was quite traumatic. But it's giving that reassurance and that kind of support as well to the son, you know.
Sure.
And helping and assisting them. So I mean, that was one of the traumatic.
How does the force support its officers though in situations like that? Because thankfully that isn't an everyday occurrence. But that must have had a profound effect on you and that of your colleague.
Well, yes, and I think you know. If you are profoundly affected by that, you know, there's a support there. You know, we've got like well-being hubs and people we can speak to, you know, internally. I think one thing I've experienced over my short tenure as a special constable is that the amount of kind of camaraderie, support and respect you get from fellow officers. Mm. You know, you're not treated any different because you're doing it on a voluntary basis or part-time, whatever. You know, you're treated as an equal, and you can talk. You know, you open up and you can talk if mm. something does affect you.
Sure.
You know, it's not never an issue, and I think West Midlands Police is very supportive in that way.
Tell me about your background, Gurmit.
So, my background, born and raised in Black Country, father of two, and like I said, always had that interest within the police, so I did join the police 16 years or so, more so in the back, kind of back office functions, support functions, to some degree, life is my police. I also have my other hobbies. I enjoy countryside walks. Mm-hmm. So we go long countryside walks as well.
Good.
Within the police, mm-hmm. There's a club called the Plodders. So,
brilliant name.
Go along with them. So the unique name. So
sure.
So yeah. So
Now, as you were saying, you do your special constabulary work on a voluntary basis. So you know that you blend that in with all the other things that are going on in your life. When it comes to actually, you know, looking to apply for that role. What sort of skill set does West Midlands Police look for from potential candidates? Because, I mean, you don't need any formal qualifications. And I would probably suggest it's probably important to go to the University of Life. But give me an idea of, you know, generally what the force is looking for.
Well, look, all your listeners have a specialist skill set in whatever they do, whether they work in or whatever. You know, lessons in life, you know, having those kind of, that kind of skill set. But you know, it's being friendly, it's being empathetic, it's obviously having those communication skills. And you know, we're communicating now, you can communicate with people. But also, it's also being assertive and when you need to, and managing confrontation. And to be honest, because I've been married 18 years, I've had my full experience in that area. So.
well, I'm not going to draw you into that one. But also, I think, but you know, you've got things like incident management, which is key, I guess, and equally, being empathic and being a good listener.
Definitely. I mean, we were told,
and staying calm.
And the officers say to me now, but we're told when we're in our training by the trainers is that your mouth is your biggest weapon, because obviously communication.
It's true.
If someone's picking off or, you know, they're really kind of shouting, having that calm and your influence, you know, and understanding, you know, if there's an angry situation, frustrated situation, calming them down. So what's the issue? How can I help and support you, you know, in this situation? So it is that.
And I mean, that's an interesting point you make, and I've heard that said before. Your mouth is your best weapon, and I think that extends beyond the police service and into wider, you know, into wider walks of life, because you can very easily rub somebody up the wrong way by actually, you know, saying something the wrong way. It's not how you intend it to be, but just a slip of the tongue can you know, get somebody's goat, really.
Yeah, and I think this is it. So when you approach a situation, you know, you have to be that calming influence. But some people are just naturally angry, and you know, times where you have to be assertive.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
You know, I think the police get a lot of bad press. You see all the negatives come through the media. We're not all the same. And obviously, we're there to assist and help. And, you know, I don't want to give the force mission statement, you know, preventing crime, protecting the public and helping those in need. In a nutshell, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, but it's also making that difference, Clive. So it's making that difference and helping and supporting those people.
If I saw a special constable walking down the street and a regular officer, would I be able to tell the difference between the two?
No, because we wear the same uniform. I mean, if you look really carefully, you'll see probably SC written on there, the epaulette on the shoulder. But you wear the same uniform, got the same powers, do the same duties. We're both front line. And people always confuse us with PCSOs.
I'll come on to that in a bit.
PCSOs are frontline. Sorry.
No, that's all right. Carry on.
Yeah, so, you know, but they're frontline as well. You know, our PCOs are, you know, just as effective as us. It's just the only difference is they don't have those arrest powers. But they play an integral role in policing as well.
They are. I mean, again, they're frontline, but they're, you know, they're classed as police staff, but they have an equally valuable role, but just in a different area of the business, for want of a better phrase, I suppose.
Yeah.
Do you get expenses, Gurmit, your out-of-pocket expenses?
Because it's voluntary, we were not paid, but you can claim travel expenses. And if you do a full shift, refreshment cost, but mainly it's travel expenses.
Yeah,
so that's,
okay.
That's what we. Yeah.
So you're not out of pocket. That's the key thing here.
Yeah, we're not out of pocket for travelling because it's on a voluntary basis. So the force looks after you there.
Now you joined back in 2020, I think. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, in the height of. Well, my cohort actually started in February.
Right.
So. And then obviously COVID came March. So we'd done a month's worth of class, so we had time to kind of gel and get to know each other. So when COVID did occur, it went online, the training, and it was really difficult over a laptop at home to have those lessons in class. However, we still went in, obviously with COVID restrictions, to do the PST training in the gym.
Mm.
So, you know, in like the 2 meter apart distance. Again, it was difficult, but we did it, then we were attested, which is when you actually are sworn in.
And you're sworn in front of magistrates, aren't you, in magistrates' court?
Correct. Yeah. So
every police officer in the land has to do that, don't they?
Yeah. So again, same as a regular police officer, you're sworn in front of magistrate. You say you say the oath, and obviously swear the allegiance to the Queen.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said. It's like I said, misconception is that, you know, we're not the same, but we are.
Yes.
Just one is paid and one isn't.
That's right. I mean, some people say, well, you know, why do you do it? Why do you do that job for nothing? How would you answer that?
Well, I mean, people said, oh, you're mad, you know, why isn't it for free? And I think really it is putting back in the community, it's making that difference. But, you know, I think there's more of a commitment and, you know, to show that kind of willingness to help and assist. And there's a lot of charities and voluntary organisations out there. But policing is unique. It's a unique set of skills you kind of acquire. And it's a unique opportunity. I mean, the skill set you kind of gain is great. You know, you build confidence.
I was going to say, I think as well, we're very fortunate in this country because we police by consent. And it was Robert Peel, the founder of what we know as the modern-day police force, who said the police are the public and the public are the police.
Definitely, and I agree with that. I mean, you know, his kind of founding principle is preservation of life and property, which is what we, when we go out, is the core of what we have to do, really.
Now, you've been very clearly very active in the last sort of 18 months or so since you joined West Midlands Police, and you've become an acting sergeant. When did that happen, and why did you decide to do that?
So, the opportunity arose. I was on response, the opportunity arose, and I thought, well, you know, I wanted to do that and try that out, really. So the opportunity arose, and I went for it. So that only, it's only been recent, though, Clive. It was only, I started beginning of December.
Right,
so,
okay.
So it's all new, and it's good. It's just a new challenge, and that's the kind of beauty of the police. There's always new opportunities, new challenges, new experiences.
And tell me about that role.
Sorry. Yeah, I was managing a team of seven special constables.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more supervision, support and direction, really. Mm-hmm. And like I said, at this moment in time, it's kind of a learning process as well.
But I bet that must increase your hours of duty.
It does, because obviously having a lot more kind of one-to-one meetings with them and supporting them. But again, you know, we use you know, like WhatsApp and what have you, because of COVID, rather than meeting in rooms and what have you.
Sure.
So that helps. But when we need to come in and meet, we do. And I think, as I said, it's really offering that support element as well as that supervision and direction.
What would you say are your long-term goals and ambitions with this?
I think I'd like to carry on. As long as, you know, the body allows, I'll carry on. you know, so I'll carry on. I've something I have a really passion for. And as I said, because there was an article just went after Christmas about myself and the police. And I've not looked back. I really, really enjoy it. I love it. And I'll carry on as long as, you know, necessary, really.
But, I mean, is it easy to balance your time between doing this and your day job and, you know, your family and your walking group and so on and so forth?
Yeah, it is difficult. I mean, if you know, you've got a family or if you've got a day job and what have you, it helps being part of the police because, again, that the kind of they understand and they help and support from a day job point of view. But with the family and everything, it can be quite difficult. But you do make that time because you've got that passion, you've got that interest, you want to go out and help and assist.
How would you...
Go
on.
Having that, let's say, it's that desire to do it. I mean, it has to be there. Like I said, it's all good and all kind of all helps.
Good. How would you motivate my listener to encourage them to join the Special Constabulary?
Well, I think, like I said, we've touched on the fact that you know, it's about the community, diverse community of West Midlands, you know, from all kind of all backgrounds, I think minorities and what have you. And I think really I'd say give it a go. You got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. You know, a lot of regular officers have started off their career as special constables, tried and tested it. And if you're working, obviously, then you've got security of your main job before whilst you're doing operational policing.
Sure. I think it's a terrific thing that you're doing, and I wish you a long and happy time in the specials. Gurmit Paul, Special Constable Gurmit Paul from West Midlands Police, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive.
That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.